And that's the question today as we continue in our series of Can You Hear Me Now? Can you hear me now? Everybody say good. Can you hear me now? Good. I wonder if God is saying that. Can you hear me now? I wonder if God is saying, good. You're listening. You're listening to what I'm saying. You're listening to what I'm speaking. You're listening to the signs and the things I left for you. I've already spoken to you, and I'm speaking to you today. Are you listening? Today we're going to talk about God's talking. Are you listening? God's talking. The question is, are you listening? Probably one of the most dangerous phrases in the English language is this phrase right here. God told me to do it. It's probably the most misunderstood, misused. It's abused. It's this word, God told me to do it. I mean, how many know that? Come on, and I've been there before, and I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I've said it before. And we use that excuse for a lot of things, don't we? Well, God told me to do this. Or God, I wonder how much did God really tell us to do that? And I'll be honest with you, as a pastor, I wonder many times, I'm even skeptical many times that if someone says, God told me to do this, I wonder how much is God really speaking and are we really hearing? I mean, we look through Scripture and we see that God does long to speak to his people. I wonder how much we use that for an excuse just to do what we want to do. Or God's speaking to me to do this. Or God's, maybe he is. I'm not saying he's not, but sometimes I wonder, what were you smoking when God was speaking to you? Is that God or was that the pizza we ate last night? What is it that's happening? And we use God for a lot of things. We hear a lot of voices. And sometimes we want to justify what we're doing and say, God's telling me to do this. And then a month later, Pastor, God told me not to do that and do this. And then a month later, God told me. Is God confused? Or are we confused? Does God lead us from stage to stage? Yes, he does. But sometimes it seems like God's always speaking and changing his mind like five times a month on the same issue. And we just don't see that in Scripture where God is not the author of what confusion. He makes things clear. He makes our path clear. And when God speaks to you, there will be no doubt. You should have it confirmed in your heart and know that God is leading you. Some of the most stupid decisions we make in our life are blamed on God. We make some decisions and we want to blame it on God. Well, God told me to do this. But do we ever come back and when we make a stupid decision, well, maybe that wasn't God. We'll come back, well, God was just trying to test me. God was just trying to see if I would make it through the hard time. You know, I wonder how much do we really hear the voice of God. And I say that, you know, and with humor this morning, and I know that God does speak to us. I wouldn't be preaching this series. So I believe that God speaks to you. He speaks to me, and he wants to speak to us. But I wonder how much that we say that are we really hearing God? Or are we just hearing our own wants? Are we hearing our own things that we want to do and justify them? You know, I've got a satellite radio in my car. And I bought the satellite radio, and I had problems with it. And so I took it back to Best Buy, and they stood by it, and they put a new one in. And you know what? If you never had satellite radio, I just tell you, it's a good thing. It's, you know, if you travel a long distance, sometimes when I go to a long conference and traveling, it's nice to have, you know, 200 channels in there. And I can listen to all, I got it all set up, you know. When I had it set up, I've got all my Christian channels right here. I got my chilling out channels. I have my jazz right here. Then I got the talk radio. Then I got sports radio. I got political radio. I got Christian radio. I got it all organized. So at the touch of a button, I can go any of those things I want to be at and listen to, and it helps kill those long trips. And I like satellite radio. But I got a new one the other day when they replaced it, and I took time, and they had it set up, and I went in and set all my channels up just right. And I got in my car the other day, and I pushed the button, and nothing came on. The light's on, but something happened. One of my kids got in there and began to mess with the buttons, and now I can't figure the thing out. I can't get even one station. Oh, the light comes on. But because it's out of tune, something has happened to it, it's out of tune, I can't receive anything. And I wonder, how many is it like us that you may have the best of the best? You may have the best radio, you may have the best stereo, you may have, you know, the Bose speaker surround sound system, but if you don't tune it in, it doesn't do you any good. You can pull up and say, man, look at this system right here, you know, but if you don't tune it in, it doesn't do you any good. The best system doesn't sound good unless it's tuned in. And I wonder how many of us are actually learning to tune in to what God is saying. Are we actually tuned in? We have the equipment. You and I are born with the equipment. We have the receivers. God has what? He has formed man and woman, what? After his image. We are formed in his image. Why? So that he can communicate to us. You notice that he didn't form the animals in his image. And the animals, they don't communicate to God. He doesn't communicate to them. Now, some of you, I know you think your animals are saved and are going to heaven with you. And I'm not here to tell you that they're not going to be in heaven with you. I don't know that. Okay, that's not mentioned in the Bible, so we're not going to preach that. I'm not here to bust any bubbles. But what he does say is this, that man was formed in his image. Man was formed in his image so that he could communicate with us. We were created so he could communicate with us. God is speaking, but are we listening? Are we tuned in to what he's saying? You know, there was the, back, I'm too young to remember this, but there used to be a thing called CB radios. How many know I'm talking about? Back in the 70s, you remember that? I remember everybody had a CB radio. Nowadays, they just have, truckers have them mostly, you know. But back then, even all the cars would have CB radios because they want to talk to each other and find out, you know, if there's a cop ahead or what's going on. If you got in trouble, you could tell somebody to call when they got to the station or whatever. And it had all this lingo that was coming up. And, you know, Randy could probably tell us some of that lingo today, all the clean lingo. Smokey and the Yokey, you know, or got your ears on, or there's, you know, 10-4 out your back door, big buddy. And, you know, all these words they use and phrases they use. And there was a big one they had on all the time. When people would pass by and they want to talk to somebody, they would what? They would say, Breaker 19, you know, whatever, this is so-and-so. Do you got your ears on? Do you got your ears on? That was a big phrase back in the 70s with the CB radios. They would ask, do you got your ears on? But I'm here to tell you that was not invented in the 70s. That was invented 2,000 years ago in Scripture. We see in Luke 8:8 when Jesus said this, he who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear. This is what Jesus asked. He who has ears, let him hear. What's he saying? He's saying, you are formed with ears. You were formed in my image. I have created you to hear the voice of God. Jesus was talking. Jesus was teaching. Jesus was speaking. And he said, you who have ears, listen up. Tune in to what I'm saying. Listen, God is speaking to you. God speaks to all of his children. How many of you have kids and only speak to certain kids? I have 5 children in my household, and I speak to every one of them every day. I speak to a lot of them loud, sometimes soft, but I speak to them. You know what I don't do? I don't ignore 2 kids. Well, this kid here, I think I'll just ignore him for a couple of days and I won't speak to him. It's getting on my last nerve. I don't do that, do we? We don't treat our children that way. We what? We speak to our kids all the same. We speak to all of them every day, especially when they're at home. We speak to them often. And we are made in his image. God longs to speak to you. And how many times that when we get our kids are in trouble or our kids are going through something, you know, there's something they're really going through at school or something they're really going through emotionally, that you don't spend even a little more time talking to them, that you don't give them a little more attention than you normally would because you know that they are needing guidance, that they're needing comfort, they're needing support. And so automatically, as a parent, what do? You want to even spend more time talking to them, checking on them, calling them, comforting them, speaking to them. So how much more does God want to speak to us when we're going through times of trouble, when we're going through times in our life where we're down or we're needing encouragement? What happens? God even more so wants to speak to you. God even more so wants to speak to me. So God is speaking, but are we listening? That's the question we're asking today. We looked at this scripture last week, and we're going to pick it back up today and do some more teaching on it, this particular chapter in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and starting in verse 5. It says, when a large crowd was gathered there, people were coming. Jesus from town to town after he told his story. It said, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering his seed, some fell along the footpath, and it was trampled. And the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell upon rocky soil, where there came, and the plants withered because they had no moisture. Some fell upon weeds, which grew up and choked out the plants. And still others, seeds fell upon good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than it was sown. When he had said this, he called out and said, "He who has ears, let him hear." And we talked about last week about getting our heart ready to hear God. And we talked about how he talked, that he said that when Jesus speaks to us, that he tests us. And many times through parables and things that he has commanded us, he just talks to us in stories through his word, through parables. And he is testing you and I to see, are we really listening? And when we prove to him that we are listening, then he reveals even more. He says, "Blessed are you." We talked about last week how his disciples said, "Jesus, there's more to this story. Tell us. We want to know. You're speaking. It's more than about a farmer with bad aim here. What's happening here?" And Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are willing to hear what I'm speaking. To you is it going to be the kingdom of heaven revealed. To you I'm going to reveal the kingdoms of heaven." Listen, I want God to reveal things to me. I want God to say, "Gene, I want to reveal things to you. I want to reveal your future. I want to reveal my kingdom come, what I have willed on this earth to be done. I want to reveal those things to you." And so I have underlined in my Bible, "God, help me to have ears to hear. God, help me to look at your test when you give out tests and say, God, I want to apply that to my life. When you teach and speak out of your word, I want to learn to apply that to my life." So you look at me and say, "You know what? I want to bless him. I want to bless his family. I want to bless what he touches. I want to bless everything he puts his hands to do. I want to call it blessed. I want to reveal to him. I want to speak to him. I want to lead to him." And so as we look at this, we see teaching. And last week we talked about the last part of this. And this week I'm going to go back up now and say, all right, if we're going to test ourselves on these things, then what do these things actually mean? Let's go back and look at it a little deeper today. So we're talking about four things today that Scripture deals with. Number one, if you want to hear God speak, you must first cultivate an open mind. If you want to hear God speak, you must first cultivate an open mind. What does that mean? It means you got to be receptive. You've got to be receptive to what God is speaking. The number one barrier to hearing God speak is those who are resistant to his voice. Those who resist when God speaks, he's not going to tell you anything else. Why should he? If I come up to you and say, "Listen, I got something exciting to tell you, something that's going to help change your life, something that's going to make you better, something that's going to help your marriage, something that's going to help your children, something that's going to help you on your job," and I say, "Listen, I've worked hard on this, and I really feel like I got something to tell you," and I go to tell you, and you're like, "Hey, wait just a minute. I don't need your help. Pastor, don't tell me anything else. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't believe what you say. It's not for me. Go tell somebody else." Now, how many think I'm going to chase that guy down and say, "Well, wait, it's going to help you"? We don't do that. When people resist us, we don't speak, do we? When they say, "I don't want to hear what you have to say," when they put our arm out of resistance, we stop speaking. And I wonder how many times in our heart, this is what the Scripture is talking about here, that we do that. He calls this the footpath soil. Look what it says here in Luke 8:5. "A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell upon the path, and it was trampled. And on the birds came to the air and ate it up." What's he talking about? The path. We know when those of you who have ever planted the garden or planted crops, you know that there is footpaths that go along the crops where people can come and actually pick the crops. They pick the fruit and they pick the vegetables and pick the things out of a garden along the path. And as they go along that path picking the fruit and picking the vegetables and picking the things, what happens? There becomes a hard soil. What was tilled up to produce fruit becomes hardened because they have walked on it and they have traveled on it so much. And when they're traveling from one garden to the next garden or from one row to the next, they find a path and they follow those paths along so they don't just trample the whole thing. They pick a certain path and they stick to that path. And so when a farmer is planting seed and he's throwing the seed, many times some of that seed will fall on the hardened path. That's what he calls the hardened soil. And it falls upon this hardened path. This is called the footpath. And there's two characteristics of a footpath. It's hardened and it's narrow. A footpath, it's a narrow trail and it's hardened. So when Jesus was talking about the seed, what was he talking about? He was talking about those people on the footpath, those people who have hardened their heart and said, "Listen, I don't want to hear it. That is not for me. I resist that. I'm narrow-minded. I'm narrow in my way of thinking. I don't want to expand myself, open myself up to God's word, to help from anybody else. I don't care what counselors tell me. I don't care what my pastor says to me. I don't care what my small group leader says. I don't care what this says. Listen, I have got my way or the highway. I am narrow-minded." That's what he's talking about, the people who are narrow-minded. And listen, if you want to hear God speak, God's not going to speak to you. If you're narrow-minded, God's not going to speak to you. If your heart is hardened, he's not going to speak to you. Your soul has got to be fresh. It's got to be ready to receive when he speaks. What causes us to have a closed mind? I was thinking about this, and I'm going to spend a little more time on this. It says, what causes us to have a closed mind? I believe it's three major mental blocks that we have. One is pride. I can handle this myself. I don't need help from nobody else. The second one is fear. A lot of people are close to God because they are afraid of what he might actually say to them. So it's easier to be closed-minded. It's easier to say, you know what, I don't believe, I don't want to hear, because you are afraid of what God actually might tell you to do, what he might ask you to change, what he might ask you to do. And so we get afraid, and so we, because of fear, we don't open ourselves up, so we stay narrow-minded. And the third one, I believe, is bitterness. That's another reason why we get hardened in our heart. Somewhere along the way, somebody has hurt you. Somebody has hurt you very, very bad, and it's causing you to harden your heart to God, and harden your heart to the church, and harden your heart to what God's wanting to speak to you. And as your pastor, let me say this to you right now. I am very, very sorry that you have been hurt. And today I believe God is very, very sorry that you've been hurt. I believe God grieves over those who hurt. How many feel bad when your children feel bad? Man, when my kids hurt, I hurt. It's nothing, you tell you what, I'm not a person who gets angry fast. I'm not a person who cries fast, but man, let my kids, something happened to my kids, and those emotions came out of me fast. I hate it when my kids are upset. I hate it when my kids are hurting. And God hates it when we're hurting. He feels bad for us, and he mourns with you. We see in Scripture, where he talks about those who mourn and how he blessed them. He said, man, blessed are those who mourn, for they're going to be comforted. But listen, I'm here to tell you today that I'm sorry that you were hurt. But I would say this, don't turn from him. Turn to him. Don't turn away from Jesus just because you've been hurt. Instead, you got to do the opposite. You got to turn to him because he cares for you. The second thing I want to tell you is never let anybody's other sin keep you from what God has for you. Never let somebody else's sin, mistake, keep you from what God has for you. Maybe somebody sinned against you and they hurt you and they abused you mentally, physically, spiritually, something that happened in your life where you were abused and it hardened your heart. And I say, don't allow that person to keep hurting you. Don't allow that person to keep hurting you because that person has moved on. That person is going on. They don't care less about you. They don't even know they've hurt you. They don't care. They're gone on doing their thing. But yet you're still allowing them to keep you from hearing the way God wants to speak to you because you have closed your heart off because you're so hurt. And I say, I'm sorry. And God's sorry today that you've been hurt. But don't allow somebody else's sin to keep you. Some of you have been hurt in a church situation in the past, and you say, Pastor, I have a hard time trusting pastors. I have a hard time trusting churches. I'm just lucky to be here today because the last church I was at, this happened or this happened. And I say today, don't allow somebody else's sin. Don't allow somebody else's mistake keep you from hearing the voice of God. Don't you allow somebody else's mistake to keep you from hearing what God has for you. God is speaking to you. God longs to be with you. God longs for you to hear his voice. Don't allow somebody else to close your ears because you've hardened your heart. Learn to let God open your mind. Number two, you got to allocate time to listen. You got to allocate time to listen. That's what he was talking about. The first barrier is hearing God speak. It's resistance. But the second barrier we see in this story is God is speaking of those who are in a hurry. How many of you are familiar with the word hurry? How many live your life in a hurry? That's us. I think today in society, you can't be alive and functioning without being in a hurry. We're in a hurry to do this, a hurry to do that. We got children and work and jobs and commitments here, and we're working. Everything we do is in a hurry. We're zooming here to get to there and zooming here to get to there and this commitment to this commitment. And man, we're zooming. Our life is in a hurry. And he talks about the dangers of being in a hurry. That's what he's talking about here in Luke 8:6. He says, other seed fell upon the shallow soil, which is an underlying rock. This seed began to grow, but it was soon withered and died for lack of moisture. We see in Israel what Jesus was teaching on this parable, that the soil, the topsoil in Israel, was very thin, that there was a heavy layer, a bedrock of limestone. It's evident all throughout Israel. It's limestones everywhere. And in many places, it's everywhere, and you can hardly find deep soil. And so when Jesus was talking about this, it was a problem that a lot of farmers had there, was the soil was so thin that it would throw the seed upon the soil that it would sprout out fast. But because there was no root system, that it would wither real fast. The roots would stop it from growing. And it would die because of a lack of moisture. And he gives the definition here in verse 13. It says, a rocky soil represents those who hear the message, but like young plants with such soil, their roots don't go very deep. They believe for a while, then they will wilt in the hot winds of testing blow. It's just a superficial mind. Sometimes we react superficially to God's word. We get excited. This is what happens. He's talking about those who don't have strong roots. They come to church, we shout unto God with the voice of triumph. We'll leave here today and say, man, that was an awesome service. We took communion. The worship was awesome. We felt God's presence. It was awesome. Wow, that was powerful. Wow, that was good. You'll go home, you'll tell you, man, that was an awesome service. That was good. But yet there's no roots to our life. We're not growing, and we get excited on one high, and then when the high is not there tomorrow, we begin to slowly go down spiritually, and we slowly go down, and we wither away. That's what he's talking about here. We have no roots spiritually. We're not learning to put our foundation in Jesus Christ on a daily basis. We get in a hurry. We're hurrying to do this, hurrying to do that. Our schedules are full. We're doing all these things. And he's saying, listen, I want you to grow roots in the kingdom of God. He wants you to be planted in God's kingdom. He wants you to know who he is. And as we do this, he speaks to you. He speaks to me. He reveals his kingdom to those who apply themselves to growing roots. Notice what the verse says. They receive the word with joy. They're going, wow, this is a great service. It was good. I read something about the United States Air Force. They did a survey and study about the way people discover, the way people retain things. And it said it's 95% of everything we hear within 72 hours we forget. 95% of everything we hear within 72 hours we forget. That's why it's important for you to be taking notes. That's why we have overheads with scriptures and our points up there so you can take time to write them out so you can go back during the week and as you're doing your devotions, as you're praying, you can go back and look what God was speaking. What was God speaking to me this week? And I can make note of that. As God speaks to your heart during the service, you make notes of that. Yeah, God, you're telling me to do this. God, I remember that. I mean, we know that. If you don't take notes, you don't plot. You don't pass a test. It's plain and simple, isn't it? If you go to college and you attend class, but you don't take notes, then you have nothing to study. And you're not going to remember what the teacher lectured on in the first quarter when it comes time for your final. You just can't remember it because you've had another class, and you forget. But those who take good notes, what? They're able to go back and study and retain it. So that's important. It's important that we study the Word of God. We write things down, that we can have a root system, that we can study what God's speaking to us. I tell you, it's one of the most frustrating things a pastor you'll ever have in your life is to think that I preach a sermon on Sunday and by Wednesday nobody can remember it. You're talking about a frustrating. That can be very frustrating. So that's why I encourage you to do a daily time with God. That's why I encourage you to take one thing home and begin to apply it to your life this week. I'm not asking you to go home and do all five things this week. But take one thing, write it down, say, God, what can I do this week to change? What can I do this week to become better? What can I do this week to grow in my relationship with you and apply it to our life? What am I doing? I'm planting roots in my life. I'm planting roots, and I'm telling God that I am serious about growth. I am serious about hearing your word. I am serious about hearing your voice. I want you to speak to me. I am planting roots. God, you water me with your voice. You water me with your presence. I'm just not on an emotional high because we had a great service, and then I had no root system. And how's this happen? Our roots come with a daily time with God, a daily time with God. That's how it happens. You don't get roots any other way except for a daily time with God. You'll never get roots just coming on Sunday morning. It's a good start. It's a good way to get the seed planted in your life. It's a good way to get them baby roots started. But listen, if you're ever going to grow your roots beyond where they're at today, it's going to happen with a daily time between you and God. You got to have a daily time that you spend with God. That's why I've preached at the beginning of this series about learning to hear God through daily time with him. That's where it starts. That God has already spoken to us. And as we open up his words, that God, continue to speak to my heart. What does your word say? What did you speak to me? And as I become obedient, I'm planting roots. And then he says, you know what? Blessed is that man because he's planting roots. He's reading my word. He knows there's something truthless. I'm going to reveal even more to him. Now I'm going to bless him even more because he is a man who has proven himself to listen to me. It's daily time. We're planting those roots. That's how I hear the voice of the Lord. And number three, you must eliminate distractions. You must eliminate distractions. You can't hear God when your mind is crowded. You cannot hear God when your mind is crowded. How many know it's impossible? It's impossible to hear God's voice when so many other things are happening around us. We're in a hurry. Things are happening. We got the TV, we got the radio, we got the computer, we got the phone, our cell phones are going off, we got the kids, everything's happening, fax is coming in. Things are happening, we're in a hurry, things are happening around us, we're distracted. And we must eliminate distractions from times in our life. You gotta set aside some time to hear God's voice. If you want God to speak to you, you gotta set a time. You know, when I want to speak to my kids, if I got something I really want to talk to my kids about, I know that I cannot do it when they're in there watching TV. When they're watching TV and they're playing games and they're shouting and they're playing, I don't come in and say, all right, kids, I got something I want to share with you. Here's some life lesson for you. This is going to help you become the man that God wants you to be. This is going to help you become the woman. I'm going to share that about 10 minutes ago. Oh, Dad, hey, when'd you get here? Dad, can you scoot over? We can't see. SpongeBob, please, get out of the way. I know that if I want to speak to my kids and I want them to hear, I got to make sure there's silence. I got to make sure the TV's off. I got to make sure the phone's on silent. And I make sure my other phone, I don't answer it. And things are happening. Because why? I want it quiet so they can hear me. I can communicate with them. And they listen to what I'm saying. Same thing happens in our life. You think God's going to speak to us if we never slow down, never quiet in our life to hear from him? God, speak to us, God. All right. You got 3 minutes, God. Now speak away. I'm in a hurry. Hey, buddy, get out of the way. God, speak. We got to slow down. We got to find times to be quiet and to listen so God can speak to us. God is speaking. You know, we see in Scripture here, look what it says in Luke 8:7. The other seed fell upon the weeds, and the weeds grew with it and it strangled it. Look at the interpretation of what he says here. The seed that fell among the weeds stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked out by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. You know what? I found out a long time ago that it is no problem to grow weeds. I mean, I don't care who you are here, that you can grow weeds. How many? I can walk. You can go to my yard today, you'll find some weeds somewhere. And I grew those. That's me. You know how I grew them? I didn't do anything about it. I didn't cut them down. That's how they grew. Because weeds will just grow. It don't need much to happen. Weeds are just going to happen. Matter of fact, if you want to stop weeds, you got to stay on top of them on a consistent basis. You're constantly out there taking care of your weeds. Why do you want to pull out weeds anyway? Why do we care? Why do we care if we have weeds in our flower garden? Why do we care if we have weeds in our garden or in a yard? Why? Because what happens? It chokes out the beauty of everything else. The other grass won't grow to the fullest when we have weeds there. Our roses and our flowers will not grow the way they should because the weeds will choke them out. They will overcome them. And so we have to keep our weeds shed back. And this is what he's talking about right here. He's talking about we've got to allow the weeds. This is what he likened our weeds to. Look what he says here. Our worries, our riches, and our pleasures. Now, does God have anything wrong with riches and pleasures? That's not what he's talking about. But he says when your riches and your pleasures become weeds in your life, then they're wrong. That's what he's talking about. And he didn't say what that was. So it could be anything. Anything that we find pleasure in, when that becomes a weed in your life and it stops you from spending time with God, then it becomes wrong. Is it wrong to have a hobby? No, it's not. God wants you to have hobbies. God wants you to live life to its fullest. It's an adventure. But should my hobby take place in my time with God? When it does, it's wrong. Should me pursuing money and job, is that wrong? No, God wants you to have a good job. God wants you to make money to provide for your family. He wants you to have the best of things. And you give that back to the kingdom of God. He wants you to do those things. He talks about through Scripture, we can see where God wants you to be blessed. But when my pursuit of that becomes a weed, where I'm doing that so much I have no time to spend with God, then it becomes wrong. And that's what he's talking about. He's saying, I am speaking, but those who are pursuing their jobs more, they're pursuing their pleasure more, they're pursuing other things, their riches and work, they're more about their worries and things of the world, their time schedule, things they got to be at, next place they got to be. People who are like that and never make time for me, he said, they will never produce fruit. They'll never get beyond where they're at. They'll sprout out, and then the weeds will come and choke them out. That's what he's talking about here. What are the weeds in our life? What are the weeds that we got to get rid of? And in closing today, I'm not going to expand on this last point, but I'm going to give it to you because we talked about it last week. The fourth thing here is we have to prepare to hear God speaking by cooperating with what he says. We cooperate with what he says. Last week I talked about this point. God is testing us. He is testing our soil. He's testing where we're at. And when he speaks and we listen, we know that God is speaking. And when he speaks, we listen. We know that we're obedient to his word. Then he wants to speak to you even more. Then he wants to reveal to you even more. Listen to what it says here. You know, I was reading a story about Elijah. And it said Elijah wanted to hear God. And Elijah said, God, speak to me. So he went to the mount and said, God, speak to me. You know what God did? God sent the thunder. But so the word of God says he did not speak in the thunder. Then he sent the storm, and he sent the winds and the earthquake, and all these things, mighty things happened. They were shook. I mean, you're talking about signs that were happening up there. I mean, God sent all these things to Elijah. But yet it said God did not speak through those things. Then it said this. And then it said things got quiet. Then it said that God whispered. It said that God whispered to Elijah, and God spoke through the whisper. And I want to tell you this week, that God has been whispering to us all week long. But have we been too loud to hear what he's saying? God's been whispering to us all week long. Have we stopped and tuned him in? Sometimes we've got to be still, be quiet, and hear the voice of God. And know that that's God speaking to me. And when I do that, I listen to his voice. I'm obedient to his word. My heart is softened. It says, God, I don't resist you. I open your word. I open what the pastor says. I open what people are telling me about scripture. And I open what you're telling me as I read it myself on a daily basis. And I'm learning to apply it to my life. And I want to learn to apply it to my life. And I'm not perfect, but God, teach me. Show me where I'm missing it. God, show me how to do it. I become fertile soil in my heart. My heart becomes open and saying, God, I want you to speak to me. And God says, blessed are you. That's what he says. He says, blessed are you because you've opened up your heart and you're being obedient to my word. Now I'm going to speak and I'm going to reveal the kingdom of heaven to you. God is speaking. Are you listening? Let's bow our heads. Today, as we bow our heads, and I want to make sure today, if you're here and you say, Pastor Gene, man, you're talking about God speaking and about resisting God. That's been me. And today, before I leave here, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Today, I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Last week, we had four people who raised their hands. I said they want to accept Jesus. And that could be you today to say, you know what? I want to accept Jesus also. Before I can even hear his voice, before I can even think about applying his word to my life, first of all, I just need to ask him to forgive me my sins, and I need to ask him to come into my heart and to be Lord of my life, because I'm right there right now. That's where I'm at. With all heads bowed, nobody looking but me, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to give you a chance just to make that commitment to God today. Say, Pastor Jens, me, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me? I want to accept Jesus today. Thank you. Anybody else today? See, that's me. I want to accept Jesus. Raise your hand. Thank you. Anybody else today? See, that's me. I want to accept Jesus. Let's say this prayer together. If you raise your hand today, I want you to mean this from your heart as we pray this prayer. We're all going to say it with you. I want you to mean it from your heart today if you really believe it. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Come into my life. Take away all my sin. Take away all my hurt. I give it to you. I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. Be Lord of my life. I turn away from my old man. And now I turn to you for new direction. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person who raised their hands today. Those people who raised their hands and said they want to make a fresh commitment to you, asking you to be Lord of their life. God, I pray, Father, right now, that you would protect that seed that's being planted today in their life. God, we just come against anything that would like to distract and take away that seed. God, may their hearts be open. God, may their hearts stay as soil, God, as soft to you, to receive of you and grow in you. I thank you today, God, for those two people who raised their hand today to accept you as Lord of their life. We praise you, God. And now we rejoice with the angels who rejoice. We say thank you, Father. Now today, as we close out today, if you're here today, say, Pastor Gene, as you were talking, I realized that somewhere in my life I've allowed my heart to maybe be like the footpath that was hardened because of someone's hurt me or because of past failure or because of something that's happened in my past. I've just been afraid to open up my heart again, afraid to trust again. And today, as you're speaking, I'm learning that that's me, and I want to hear God's voice, and I want to open up. And I'm asking God today to help me to soften my heart again. I'm praying that, asking God to help me to forgive again. If that's you, can you just raise your hand and say, that's me? Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Keep them raised. That's fine. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, several hands today going up for that. Others of you here today say, Pastor Gene, I just need to learn to be more obedient to what God's speaking. And I want you to pray for me that I'll learn to be more obedient to what God's speaking so that he'll reveal more to me. If that's you, can you just say, that's me? I just need to learn to be more obedient, Pastor. Thank you. That's being honest. Yes? Yeah, we're there. Sometimes I got to raise my hand that too and say, we all got to be obedient, don't we? Yes. Let's stand today. I'm going to close this out in prayer. I want to pray for those especially who raised their hands today. Father, I thank you, Lord, for those who were honest today, who raised their hands, Lord. Those who raised their hands and said they were going through things in their life, maybe because of past hurts. They've hardened their heart, Lord, and they've been afraid to trust. They've been afraid to listen. And God, I pray right now, the Father, today would be the beginning, God, of you softening their hearts, them learning to forgive and let go, and God, learning to listen to your voice again, that their hearts begin to soften once again. And God, I pray for all those who raised their hands that they just need to learn to be obedient. God, they know you're speaking. They read what your word says. They hear the pastor. They hear your voice. But God, they are not being obedient. And God, I pray today that God, you would help us to be quick to be obedient. God, that you may in return speak even more to us. In return, God, you may reveal even more the kingdom of God. In return, you can give us even more fruit in our life, as you said would happen to those who open their ears. Let us be people who have ears to hear and hear you speak, God. Speak to us this week, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name, people of God said, amen and amen. God bless you today. Thank you so much. Shake a hand before you leave. You have a great week. We'll be here this Wednesday night with men's and women's ministries and children and youth. Get connected somewhere. Amen.